Good morning.
Amen.
Welcome to 2023. Happy New Year. All right. Good to see each and every one of you. Good to see Mike and Susan. Glad you're up. Glad you had a safe trip. Glad to see the crew back from Mexico that had a trip down there. So heard good testimonies from them. So we're going to read here in 1 Peter in chapter 1. We're going to read just the first verse. First Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, that's the period, or that's a comma, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for a new day, an opportunity, a new year that you've given to us, an opportunity to open up the Word of God. We pray that you would bless all those that are here and those that aren't. Some are out with illness. Some are out with new babies. We pray that you bless them and bless this word as we preach it this morning. And we pray in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you know, if you can remember a long, long time ago, we were talking about the life of Peter. So we're going to continue with this. And I can't think of a better way to get the insights of a man than by reading his letters. A lot of times they'll write biographies about people in history and they'll go back and reference their letters. I was just reading the biography of William Wilberforce, the shining light that liberated slaves across the English Empire. So it's very interesting, and they quote from his letters and his speeches that he gave. And so we want to get insight into the life of Peter. We're going to look at his letters and see what he wrote. It is amazing. So the question I have for you this morning is, when you think of the name of Peter, when that name is mentioned, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Does it come to your mind Simon, the brother of Andrew? Does it come to mind that Simon, the fisherman, partner with James and John, the sons of Zebedee? When you think of Peter, do you think of Simon Barjona, who boldly professed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? The man who our Lord Jesus Christ gave him the name Peter. Is that who you think of? Do you think of the man who our Lord called Peter, or do you think of the man that our Lord called Satan, who upon hearing that Jesus would suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, rebuked the Lord, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee"? Is that who you think of when you think of Peter? When you think of Peter, do you recall a man who, upon being threatened and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus, boldly replied, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard"? Or do you think about the brutish man who denied the Lord three times before the cock crowed by cursing and swearing, saying, "I know not the man"? When you think of Peter, what do you think of? Do you think of the man who, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear? Or do you think of the man that, after he denied the Lord, went out and wept bitterly? When you think of Peter, it says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." What do you think of? When you think of Peter, do you think of the dejected man who told his comrades, "I go a-fishing"? Or do you think of the man who boldly preached to about 3,000 men in Jerusalem, proclaiming the gospel? When you think of Peter, do you think of the man that got out of the boat and walked on water to go to Jesus? Or do you think of the man who, seeing the waves boisterous, began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me"? Peter. Do you think of the man who, boldly going to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile centurion of the band called Italian, and preached the gospel to the Gentiles, opening the door for them? Or do you think of the man who withdrew and separated himself from eating with Gentiles because he feared those of the circumcision? When you think of Peter, what do you think of? Do you think of an impetuous man, someone impulsive, or a bold, fearless preacher of the gospel, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think about when you hear the name Peter or you read the name Peter? Or is it like I do when I think about the name Peter, I just kind of see myself in a mirror. I see myself on days I have great victory, very bold for the Lord, and then I find myself the very next day denying the Lord in some way. Very impulsive. Do you see yourself in the life of Peter? I certainly do. I would hope that you do as well. We can take great comfort in knowing that Peter was beloved of the Lord. Amen. And he wasn't perfect. You don't find perfect servants of the Lord. It seemed like all of them have flaws. And yet he was a servant of God. And thank God for that.
Amen.
In the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. A good name. I think Peter was a good name. Peter was the name that the Lord himself gave to Simon. So we start off this letter of Peter, the apostle Peter. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So Peter was an apostle, and I'd like to talk about that this morning a little bit. What is an apostle? Notice it doesn't say Peter the apostle. See, unfortunately, there are people who have a doctrine that says that Peter is the head apostle. He's like the chief. Well, I think if you read the scriptures, you're going to see that he is definitely one of the leading apostles. You're going to find, especially when the Lord was still on the earth ministering, then Peter, James, and John, those they seem like to be the three prominent ones. Now, there may be reasons for this. It might be because Peter was evidently the elder in sense that he was the older of the apostles. It seems to me that all these apostles, especially the 12 that the Lord called out, were young men. But we do know that Peter was married. You recall that. We brought that out, and the Lord actually healed Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter was married. He was a businessman. He had an established business. And so it may be that he was listed first, not because he was the chief among them, but because he was the eldest. And that's a possible explanation. And it could be that he was chief in the sense he was amongst the leading brethren. That's definitely so. We see that. But, you know, when they had the council in Acts chapter 15, and we're going to have a Bible study this morning, so be prepared. When you go to the council in Acts chapter 15, it isn't Peter that's necessarily leading out. In fact, when the decision is made, it wasn't Peter that stood up and said, okay, brethren, we've had our discussion, here's what I conclude. It was actually James that did that. And then when you get to Paul writing the letter to the Galatians, you don't find Peter as the first one. You find him called Cephas, but he's in the middle of the pack and he wasn't listed first. So we don't have this idea that Peter was the first pope in that sense, or the head of the church. We find Peter himself in his letter saying Peter an apostle, not the apostle. So that's one thing that we need to consider. Look over in Galatians in chapter 2. Definitely Peter had a ministry that was given to him, just as Paul was given a ministry by the Lord. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, but contrariwise, when they saw, this is Paul going up to Jerusalem to talk to the elders and apostles about this false doctrine, these Judaizers that were saying that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And if you read chapter 1 of Galatians, Paul emphatically states that even if an angel from heaven, or even if myself, if I should somehow change my mind down the line and preaching something other than that which I've revealed to you, let that person be accursed. And so he goes up to Jerusalem in order to talk about this, and he gathers the brethren, and this is where they're talking, and here we pick it up in verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So it wasn't that Peter was the head of the apostles or the head of the church. That's reserved for Christ himself. Christ is the head of the church. There's only one head to the church. But it's definitely obvious in the scriptures that Peter was called to a specific ministry, and it states here clearly he was given the apostleship of the circumcision, just as Paul was given the apostleship of the uncircumcised. Now that's definitely a ministry that Peter had, and each and every one of us have a ministry. God has called us to a ministry, and we ought to be faithful to exercise that ministry that God has given us. Paul certainly had a ministry, Peter did as well, and so Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I wrote some notes down here. Let me see if I can find them here. What is an apostle? The word itself means somebody that is sent. And one who is sent as Jesus was sent by the Father. So he says, so send I you, even as the Father has sent me. You're going to see that over in John chapter 20. Also, you think about, I wrote some notes here from Martin Luther, interesting. He defines an apostle in this way. One sent to declare a message. One who bears a message by word of mouth, an orator. And he uses the word orator in the sense of not somebody that can speak eloquently, but as an orator in the sense of an advocate, one that defends and is, as an advocate, a cause by the word of mouth. So that stands up in a court and defends somebody. And so that's how Luther defined it. You can look over in Philippians chapter 2. And verse 25, I think it says, I have this written down in an old English version here. Let me get this one here. Philippians chapter 2, somebody finds it. Let's see here. Verse 5, does somebody find it before me? Yes, please. Go ahead and read it for us.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
That's not it. 25, verse 25, I'm sorry.
Yet I suppose it necessary to send you to Epaphroditus, my brother and companion, neighbor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my want.
Yeah, there you go. Your messenger. And you're going to find in the older English Bibles, they actually say apostle there. And so the idea of that word is they're a messenger, or somebody is sent with a message, but in the sense of advocating or defending or proclaiming the gospel in this sense. Yeah. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to ask you how many apostles were there, what would be the answer quickly?
12.
12, of course. Everybody knows there were 12 apostles. But have you ever counted the apostles in the scriptures? Let's do that. Look in Matthew in chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. There's your 12. You're going to see that quite often in scripture. Luke 22 and verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So there's your 12. And then in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of what? The 12 apostles of the Lamb. So there was a group of 12 that was specially set aside for an apostleship, that the Lord sent them out. They were sent out with a message to deliver the message of Christ. And if we read in Matthew 10, not only that, he gave them power against unclean spirits. And you'll read in other chapters where they actually went out and healed those that were sick and cast out devils. So they were definitely had certain powers that you and I do not have. They were given these powers as part of their apostleship, but they were a select group. One of these, being Judas, which ended up betraying the Lord, was replaced by another. Do you remember who replaced him? Matthias. And that's in Acts chapter 1. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 1 and verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, and who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And of course, if he's numbered with them, then how many are there? 12. There are 12. So there were 12 original apostles. One of them died, or not one of, well, one of them killed themselves, Judas. Then there was another one. So how many in total? 13. I didn't mean to confuse you. There were 11. There were 12. One died. Then there were 11. Then they elected another one, Matthias. Matthias was added. They went back to 12, but in total there were 13. Is that correct? So far so good? You writing this down? You gonna keep track? Alright, cause we're gonna come back to this in Acts chapter 1. Very important information in Acts chapter 1, because it says Peter, an apostle. As an apostle, he was one of the 12.
Right.
He wasn't head of the 12, but he was one of the 12. That select group that had been with the Lord since the baptism of John, saw the suffering of Christ, and saw the resurrected Christ. So he was one of that select group, and those names are written in the book of Revelation on the foundations that are going to be out throughout eternity. Those 12, kind of like the 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah. So there were 12 apostles. There are no other apostles like these 12, not even the apostle Paul, which is another apostle, which we're going to get to in our next step. Yeah? So these 12 were select. Look at the requirements that were required, or the things that were required in order to be an apostle to replace Judas. Did you see what was required? What was required? Can you name them? They had to serve with the other apostles when Jesus was still living. Did you see that? He said, yep. Of these men, so there was a group of men, not all of them, but of these, which have accompanied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and among us, right? And beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up. So about 3.5 years, they were going in and out with the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to be one of those. That was not the Apostle Paul. Right? Paul had a different type of calling. We're going to get to that in a minute. But Matthias being selected, he had to meet these qualifications. Nobody today meets these qualifications.
Right.
Do you agree with that? I think it's pretty clear. Notice some other things that's important. Being an apostle is also to be a bishop. Did you see that? And his bishopric let another take. Did you see that? All right? Did you see that they were witnesses? Did you see that? Did you see that that was part of the ministry and apostleship? So it was specific ministry that they were giving, and they had certain authority. Did you see that? So far, so good? All right, remember those things. Then look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5. We probably should read this whole portion here. This is Paul writing. Let's start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now we realize that Cephas is just another name for Peter or Simon. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. In other words, some have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, right? And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, and I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. And you go back into the Gospels and you see that Christ was crucified, and then when he rose again, he appeared unto some women. Later on, he appeared to Cephas. Then he appeared unto the 12. One time he appeared, and guess who wasn't there? Do you remember who wasn't there? Thomas wasn't there. The next time he appeared, all 12 were there, right? So they were gathered, and they appeared. So remember, these other disciples are around as well. So when the Lord shows up, not just the 12 apostles, but there was others that the Lord appeared, and he says, what was about 500, or did he say above 500? Above 500 that he appeared unto. So that is something we need to consider. So we have the original 12, which we named. Judas kills himself. Matthias is selected, and he becomes a group of the 12. He's part of that elect group. But here in Corinthians also we see another apostle. And what apostle is that? Paul. And what does he say of his calling and his ministry? As one born out of due time. So he's not saying he's part of the 12. Right? He's saying, look, this is an exception. This is a case that's not normal. Yeah? And that's what he says. And Paul was called. And let's look at some things that Paul says about his ministry, about his apostleship. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So Paul, in expressing his apostleship, he says, listen, and I'm going to paraphrase here, I was not elected to this apostleship. Nobody elected me. This apostleship was not of men, didn't come from man, it came from God Almighty. In fact, that whole chapter of Galatians there, he emphatically says, look, listen, this message I got from you and this apostleship that I'm coming to you with the authority of God Almighty, it comes directly from God. I didn't even get it from the other apostles. I got this directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any angel or even I or one of us preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. And Paul says, look, I got this apostleship directly from God. Is that clear?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he said in Corinthians 15, as one born out of due time. Yeah. And he says, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. Because if you remember, he persecuted the church of Christ. And he persecuted Christ himself. Jesus told him, why do you kick against the pricks? Yeah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2. He's defending his apostleship to the Corinthians, and he writes, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So, here's my take. This is my take. I think Paul one time says, now I speak not the Lord, but I myself speak. He says something like that. So, this is my understanding. So, there were an elect 12 that were special apostles, given a ministry, that ministered with the Lord from the very beginning. They were to preach that Christ was indeed the Messiah. Peter, being among them, was given the ministry to the circumcision. They were basically ministering to the Jews. In fact, when Jesus was on the earth, he tells them, just go to the house of Israel. Don't go to these other peoples. Go to them. Peter himself is taken aback after the resurrection because he's still preaching to the Jews. All of a sudden, he gets a vision. This is in Acts chapter 10. I hope you're following with me. Yeah. So in Acts chapter 10, he gets a vision. He sees all these unclean meats on this great white sheet. And the Lord says, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And he disputes the Lord, impetuous Peter. He says, I'm not going to do it. I'm a Jew. I'm never going to do that. I've never done it. Not so, Lord. And Jesus tells him, what I've cleansed, call not unclean or uncommon. And Peter realizes at that same time there's a knock at the door, and it's a bunch of Gentiles telling them that Cornelius has seen a vision and he wants him to come over and give a message. And Peter puts two and two together. Aha! The Lord is opening the door for the Gentiles. Yeah? And I say that because up to that time, Peter, as the other 12 apostles, had only gone to the house of Israel. So this is like a great revelation for them that the door is being opened onto Gentiles. And actually, Peter later on gets himself into trouble over this issue, but we'll talk about that later. But the point I'm making is these 12 were a select group, and they had certain qualifications that Paul did not meet. Paul did not minister with them since the baptism of John. Paul was an exception. He was outside of that pale. It's a different type of calling. He was an apostle, but I don't want to say a different type. Well, I don't know how to say this exactly, how to phrase it. He was not of the 12 is the point I'm making. That 12 was a select group. Paul was outside of that group, but he was an apostle. Look what Paul says, what Paul seems to be saying here, that in order to defend his apostleship, he says, first of all, I seen Jesus Christ. Did you see that in verse 1? Then he says, ye are my seal of apostleship. In other words, he started a church, or he won people of the Lord. He says, you're the proof of my apostleship. If I'm not an apostle to anybody else, at least I am to you. You've seen my ministry. You know me, you know my testimony, that this revelation that I've gotten from the Lord, you know it's of the Lord. And we're going to see how he confirmed this here in just a second. Let's very quickly, we're going to go through the Bible very quickly because time is fleeting. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. 1 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now this is Paul saying apostles have signs to approve or confirm or certify their apostleship. Yeah? Are you catching this? So it's not a willy-nilly thing, oh, I'd like to be an apostle, I'm just going to name myself an apostle, and I'm Apostle Joe Smith, and you're going to listen to me. Or I'm the Pope Benedict, God bless him, have mercy upon his soul, he passed away recently, I'm the Pope, I'm an apostle. It's just not a matter of somebody saying, I'm going to be apostle, or a group of people deciding, okay, this guy is going to be apostle. That's not the way it was. It was a direct revelation from God. And Paul himself saw the Lord, and that was confirmed by signs. Even the other apostles, the 12 apostles, they were given signs as a confirmation. And these particular apostles were actually writers of Scripture. Paul definitely wrote a lot of scripture. Look over in Mark chapter 16. Look what it says down in verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these what? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, listen here carefully, and confirming what? Confirming the word with what? Signs following. Amen. So here's the point. When the apostles are commissioned by the Lord to go and preach the gospel, this revelation that Paul himself received by direct revelation, when they went out to preach, they only had the Old Testament. They did not have the New Testament. They didn't have the four Gospels. They didn't have First Romans and First Corinthians and Second Corinthians. They didn't have the book of Ephesians. They didn't have the book of Acts. They didn't have Galatians. They didn't have the book of Hebrews or James. They didn't have the book of Revelation. They were out preaching, but what were they preaching? They were preaching the Word of God, and what they preached actually became part of the Scriptures. And that Word that they preached was confirmed that it came from heaven by what? By signs following. These apostles had authority, and God confirmed that authority with signs following. We don't find people running around doing that today. So, that leads us to Paul. Were there any other apostles? We got the original 12, one died, Matthias replaced him, that was 13. We got Paul, one born out of time, that's 14. Were there any other apostles in the scripture? Somebody says yes. All right, how about Acts chapter 14 and verse 4? And the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And then verse 14, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. What's this? Barnabas? Do you remember Barnabas? Barnabas was one that persuaded the people that Paul was genuine. Remember, they were all afraid. I don't want to mess with Paul. That guy, he was Saul. He was persecuting the church. And Paul, or Barnabas, persuaded the others, no, he's genuine. And then Barnabas and Paul end up going out, being sent out of the church in Acts chapter 13. And they go out as what? As apostles. So that's, is anybody keeping track? That's 15, right? Barnabas was an apostle. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 5 and 6. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? It's Paul including Barnabas as an apostle. And he's saying that we have an authority. So we have Barnabas. How about 1 Corinthians chapter, any other apostles before I give the answer?
Most likely.
Yes, most likely there's some other ones, yeah. That's a good conclusion, very good, yeah. All right, how about this one? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transfigured to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as thou hast not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I, who is the us? Paulus and Paul. And I would to God that ye did reign, that we, who's that? Thank you. That we also might reign with you, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Now, it looks like Apollos was numbered amongst the apostles. Now, I know there's a way to read that that might exclude Apollos, but it certainly looks like that Apollos was one of that, and I am of the persuasion that Apollos was included as one of the apostles. And I get that from other verses. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas. Here you have, Paul is definitely an apostle. Cephas is definitely an apostle. And we have Apollos in the middle, who's not an apostle? I think he is. That's my opinion. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And again, Apollos is called out in name. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Again, naming Apollos. Looks like to me, he is another apostle. Alright, that's definitely a possibility. Any others? Yeah, probably so. Most likely so. How about an easy one now? Look in, Hebrews chapter 3. Here's one that a lot of people forget. Verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So Christ was considered the apostle, and he was sent by whom? The Father. The Father sent him, and he then, when Jesus comes, he says to the 12, he says, I'm sending you even as the Father has sent me. So an apostle is somebody that was sent. Yeah, all right. How about James, the Lord's brother? You do know the Lord had brothers and sisters, right? Mary was a virgin when Christ was born, but she was not a perpetual virgin. She had other children. Marriage is blessed in the sight of the Lord. It's not a curse. It's not a sin. It wasn't a sin for Mary and Joseph to have other children. Jesus was definitely a virgin born, but he had other brothers and sisters. You can see that in Mark chapter 6, and I believe it's Matthew chapter 12, the list of the names. One of those names was James, and he's called the Lord's brother. Look in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. So this would be another one, yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, we read that previously. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So it looks like there was a special appearing. The Lord, being concerned about his siblings, appeared on the James, who was probably older after Christ, appeared on the James specifically, and James was considered an apostle. So far, so good? Okay. All right, you're with me. Let's go quickly because time is running out. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1? Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So far, so good? That's chapter 1. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Nor of men sought we. He just started off the letter, Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus. Now he says we, unless you can pick up and figure out that he said we is referring to something else. But as far as I can see, it was referring to the people that he mentioned in chapter 1. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So it looks like he's including this group as the apostles of Christ. Now I can give you another interpretation. That interpretation could be, instead of saying that Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus were all apostles, it could be saying that we behaved as the apostles behaved. That would be another interpretation. I am asserting my interpretation is that Paul, Timotheus, and Silvanus also were all apostles. Take it or leave it, but that is my opinion in trying to read the scriptures. Now, how many does that give us now? Anybody keeping track?
19.
We should come up with 22 somehow. I came up with 22. Actually, I think there's a possibility of being above 500 because of the Lord appeared under the 500. It looks to me like they were apostles in the sense that they were sent out in order to establish churches, etc. So they would have a type of apostleship, not like the original 12, somewhat like the Apostle Paul, but in the sense that they were sent out to bear a message, to preach the gospel, and to establish churches, and those churches that were established would recognize their apostleship, in a sense. Now, our modern vernacular, we would say missionary. And I think, in that sense, they were apostles. Now, most people, this church included, we would say there are no official apostles today. Not like the 12, and definitely not like Paul, or even like James in that sense. These apostles that were actually writing scriptures and giving us the word of God, giving us revelation directly from God, we would understand that there are no others in that sense.
Amen.
All right. That's how we would say it. We can definitely see the 12. You can see that clearly, correct? That's clear. We can definitely see Paul. That's clear. So far, so good. And we can definitely understand that these particular apostles were given particular signs as proofs or as certification, as something that confirmed the word that they preached, because they were given direct revelation from God and they were given authority to God. That is clear, correct?
Amen.
All right, so now I'm going to separate the clear and get over here into opinion. Is that clear? I'm now stepping on the side of just opinion. This is not official doctrine. This is just opinion. That means you can take it or leave it. It may help you. It may not. So I see, this is my opinion, I see that there were apostles in the sense of the word, the meaning of the word, messenger sent. And as I mentioned just previously, we in our modern vernacular, we say missionaries. We're sending out these missionaries. What are we sending them out to do? We're sending them out to preach the gospel and establish churches.
Amen. Right.
So that's the word we would use. I know that we shy away from using the word apostle because we don't want people to think that there are people running around that can write more scripture. We don't want people to think that there's a pope somewhere that he can have authority over all the churches, because we're persuaded that the church has the authority and the elders or bishops within the local church. So we're trying to separate that. At least I'm trying. I'm doing my best to show there is a distinction. But if we wanted to use the word in the meaning of the word as it's used in the dictionary, one that is sent, or as Martin Luther defined it, one that is sent with a specific message in order to defend the gospel. In that sense, yes, we still have apostles in that sense. We use the word missionary. Does that make sense? This is in the side of opinion. Because it seems to me like if Silvanus and Timotheus and some of these other people that we mentioned, they weren't with the ministry, they weren't part of that original 12, nor were they, it doesn't appear that they were given direct revelation. They weren't born out of due time like Paul was, but they were sent out. They were appointed by the churches, like Barnabas was appointed, and definitely like Apollos. Apollos is the clearest one for me. If he was an apostle, I'm just trying to figure out how he ever saw the Lord in that sense. Because there were apostles sent out with a message, and one of the things on these apostles that are clear, that they were sent out as witnesses of the resurrection. And they were testifying that the Lord did indeed resurrect and did give them authority to preach and to go out. And they confirmed that with signs. Now these other ones, I'm not sure. I don't think we have any missionaries that are going around raising the dead and healing and things like that. But they are sent out of the church. Now that's my opinion. I think it's a reasoned opinion, but it's not directly from the scriptures. It's just my understanding of trying to interpret some of these verses. There are others that agree with me. There are definitely well-educated men that would agree with me on this point, that there is that third group of apostles, but in the sense that they're sent out in order to preach the gospel, and they give witness to the word of God and to the gospel, and they establish churches. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Any questions? If you have, yes, sir.
Was the third group, is there any mention of a miracle that they performed, a sign?
I haven't found any in that third group. Unless we say Barnabas, but he was with Paul, and so it's very possible it was Paul that was actually doing the miracles. So, but I don't see that. I think the signs were given to that those apostles, those 12 apostles, in order to confirm the word. Because remember, they ended up writing scripture. We have James, right? We have the book of James. We have Peter, Peter here, and definitely we have the scriptures that Paul gave. And Paul did say that he was one born out of due time, and he definitely defended his apostleship with the idea these signs confirm it. So, anybody going to add unto the word of God, they have to have some proof that it came from God. Does that make sense? And again, this is. Because it says it's given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So in that sense, we could say there are apostles, but not in the sense of there's apostles with authority that can become a pope or something like that. But again, that was on my side. You can take a look at it yourself. Some of the wording can be taken either way, and that's why it's difficult. But it looks to me like there's at least 22 apostles in the scriptures, maybe even 500 if we count that group that saw the Lord and they went out as witnesses. So that's a possibility. Definitely 12 of that special group. Definitely Paul was definitely apostle, and hope that's clear. We'll come back to some of this next week. We'll take a short break, and after, I think, are you preaching this morning? Brother Lindell's going to be preaching the morning message, and he can make any corrections as he sees fit.